word for it, synonyms, and this particular text doesn't have a purport, nor does the next text, and the third text after this does have a purport, so we're going to read all those texts. So, Siddha Chamana Gandharvair Apsara Kinaro Rukahai Uparo Toro Bali Be Stuyamane Namapravet. Okay, word by word synonyms. Divya Shrak Ambara Alepa.
Divya Shrak Ambara Alepa.
She then assumed the form of a demigoddess. Completely decorated with sandalwood pulp. Flower garlands and a nice dress. Ratna Abharana Bhushita. Decorated with ornaments of valuable jewels.
Danu Shula Isha
Charma Asi. With bow, trident, arrows, shield, and sword. Shankar Chakra Kadatara. And holding the weapons of Vishnu. Concha, disc, and club. Siddha Charana Gandharvahai. By these Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas. Apsara Kinara Ura Gahai. And by the Apsaras, Kinaras, and Uragas. Uparita Uru Batlibihi. Who brought all kinds of presentations to her. Suyamana, being praised. Idam, these words. Abravit, she said. Translation, the goddess Durga was decorated with flower garlands, smeared with sandalwood pulp, and dressed with excellent garments and ornaments made of valuable jewels. Holding in her hands a bow, a trident, arrows, a shield, a sword, a conch shell, a disc, and a club, and being praised by celestial beings like Apsaras, Kinaras, Uragas, Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas, who worshipped her with all kinds of presentations, she spoke as follows. You can repeat. The goddess Durga was decorated with flower garlands, smeared with sandalwood pulp, and dressed with excellent garments, and ornaments made of valuable jewels. Holding in her hands a bow, a trident, arrows, a shield, a sword, a conch shell, a disc, and a club, and being praised by celestial beings, like Apsaras, Kinaras, Uragas, Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas, who worshipped her with all kinds of presentations. She spoke as follows. So, next text. Text 12. Kim mayataya manda jata kalu tavantakrit yatra kvava purva shatrur mahimsi kripanam vritha. O Kamsa, you fool, what would be the use of killing me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has been your enemy from the very beginning and who will certainly kill you, has already taken his birth somewhere else. Therefore, do not unnecessarily kill other children. So, next text, text 13. Iti pravasya tam devi maya bhagavati bhuvi bahunama niketeshu bahunama speaking to Kamsa in this way. The goddess Durga, Yuga Maya, appeared in different places such as Varanasi and became celebrated by different names such as Annapurna, Durga, Kali, and Bhadra. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The goddess Durga is celebrated in Calcutta as Kali, in Bombay as Mumbha Devi, in Varanasi as Annapurna. That means full of rains, actually. In Cuttack as Bhadra Kali. Wow. And in Ahmedabad as Bhadra. Actually, the word Bhadra means auspicious. And Subhadra means very auspicious. So, anyway. So, thus in different places, she is known by different names. Her devotees are known as Shaktas, or worshippers of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas worshippers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself are called Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are destined to return home back to Godhead in the spiritual world, whereas the Shaktas are destined to live within this material world to enjoy different types of material happiness. In the material world, the living entity must accept different types of bodies. Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudani maya. Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, text 61. According to the living entity's desire, Yoga Maya or Maya, the goddess Durga, gives him a particular type of body, which is mentioned as yantra, a machine. But the living entities who are promoted to the spiritual world do not return to the prison house of a material body, tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sojuna. The words janma, not eti, indicate that these living entities remain in their original spiritual bodies to enjoy the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental abodes of Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. So, Om Gana Timadanda Sha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, as Prabhupada mentions here in the last report, Durga is the one who gives us the body according to our desire. And therefore, she is our mother. And actually, she's the mother of all living entities within this material world. And the exact description of how that comes to be is that at the time of the cosmic creation, you have the Mahavishnu, who has previously absorbed all the different universes, and when they're absorbed within his body, they're known as the Pradhana. Pradhana means the unmanifested stage of the material world. It's like clay that hasn't been pulled out of, or silly putty, or whatever you use when you're young, that hasn't been pulled out of its container before it's shaped by the little kid. So he manifests the Pradhana. That's the material cause, just like the Lord is both the material and the efficient cause of this world. That's actually very important words to remember. The Lord is the material cause and the efficient cause. I'll explain what the efficient cause. The material cause is that he manifests all the universes from his body as the Mahavishnu. And of course, Advaitacharya sometimes described as the material cause. He's not material, but the Lord is the material cause. So, and then all the universes expand out, and then, of course, we know he expands as the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and the Shivadakshaya Vishnu. Shivadakshaya Vishnu has an island in the ocean of milk in the universe, and also he's in everyone's heart, he's in every atom, etc. So that's the material cause. And then is the efficient cause. Efficient means what causes things to happen, you know, the reason for everything. Then he injects the living entities in the material world because he doesn't touch matter. In spite of being in every atom, in everyone's heart. He doesn't touch matter. He never comes in contact with matter. He injects the living entities within this material universe through his glance, Angani, Asha, Shakalan, Triadri, Timanti. With any part of his body, he can do anything he wants. He can eat with his eyes, he can eat with his ears, he can impregnate with his eyes, he can impregnate with his ears. That glance is called Shambhu, which is really interesting. Actually, even the higher living entities in this material world are not so much restricted to doing a particular activity with one sense or another sense. We were talking about this last night with some devotees, how even Lord Brahma gave birth to many living entities without a wife. You know, through his mind, he was able to give birth to Narada Muni. And through his heart, he gave birth to living entities. You know, just like, it's amazing. So, in other words, he didn't need a wife. And Prabhupada comments that Lord Vishnu did not utilize his wife to give birth to Lord Brahma. And not jokingly, last night I was telling the devotees, that's why Lord Brahma was not nagged by his mother, because he didn't have a mother. Anyway, Lakshmi is married to Vishnu. So that's the efficient cause, and that causes Shiva, Shambhu, and that Shambhu comes in touch with Durga. And when Shambhu meets Durga, then the living entities with their various bodies come out. By their conjugation, all of us come out. So Lord Shiva is literally our father, in a very real sense, you know, in a material sense. And Durga is literally our mother, just as much as the mother we have in this lifetime. So we respect Durga and we respect Lord Shiva. However, we understand both of them in the right perspective, the right priority, that Lord Shiva is a servant of Krishna, Vaishnavanam, Yata Shambhu, and so is Durga, who is Vaishnavi. So, there are many people who do worship the energy of the Lord, as Prabhupada said. They're called Shaktas. And of course, there's Shakti, which is the Lord's energy, and then there's Shaktiman, which is the Lord, the source of all the Shaktis. So we worship Shaktiman, who is the source of all the Shaktis. But there's many people who worship the Shaktis, and then Krishna says they're not so intelligent. Kamaishtar, Tastar, Ritigyana, Vajratetita. He refers to all the demigods, but in particular the Shaktis are one sense demigods, like Durga is a demigod. And so they're less intelligent. Why? Because the fruits are limited and temporary. But when someone worships Durga, she ultimately turns it into a sort of like a lesson for the person or a spiritual. Somehow or other, it has something to do with getting closer to Krishna, because even her punishments of the living entities under the guise of adiatmic, adibodhic, and adidaivic, miseries from other living entities, miseries from the material energy, and miseries from one's own body and mind, which are so nice. We're not saying we want more of it, but anyway, they're actually meant to help us advance. So everything that Durga does is to push the living entities to advance, just like in the prison house. We gave the example yesterday that hopefully everything a good warden would do was to rectify the inmates in the prison house. So I'm going to tell some interesting stories about devotees who worshipped, or people worshipped, Durga. One of the stories is from the Jiva Dharma. Very interesting story. Once upon a time, in the Navadvipa area, there was this great scholar of Nyaya. Nyaya means like logic, philosophy. Basically philosophy. We're not against Nyaya, actually. Sometimes people understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but they don't understand philosophy. Does everyone understand the difference? Philosophy means, you know, like how you draw certain conclusions. What is inductive process? You know, my prophet even talks about it. Induction. What is induction? Induction means to examine the material world and take some limited examples and draw a general conclusion. And deduction means that based upon those conclusions, or based upon even higher knowledge, you come to other conclusions. In other words, this, therefore, that. I'm not going to get into the whole details. This is philosophy. You know, philosophy, understanding something that's logical, something that's not logical. Something can be logical, but completely wrong. Anyway, that's another subject matter. So, anyway, so he was expert in Yaya. His name was Brajanath, which is kind of a nice name. Brajanath Bhattacharya. So the Bhattacharyas, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, it's a very high-class name in Bengal. So he was so expert that he defeated all the other scholars of Nyaya. And there was one scholar who was actually very, many of them were envious of him, but one scholar who was a worshipper of Durga was extremely envious of him. His name was Anayaka Achyutamani. He was extremely envious, and he thought, I gotta stop this Brajanath from being so expert because he's just conquering everybody. You know, in those days, at least amongst the scholars, they weren't interested in soccer or football games or cricket. They were interested in debates. I mean, it's very interesting how that's the symptom of a more Brahminical high-class culture, that there's debates to settle different things. Even with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when there was this whole discussion of whether Brahmins were higher than Vaishnavas, or Brahmins were the highest in the world, he debated the scholars. And he even debated at one particular point that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own initiating spiritual master, Vipini Vihari Goswami. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur won. And when he won, they just like in football, you have a victory rally and everybody goes. The interesting thing in India, when they have a victory rally for a scholar who wins, everybody tries to touch his feet. In the West, they actually put the guy up on their shoulders and march around with him. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
I had that happen once. When we won the Sankirtan Marathon one year, I was a temple president in Venezuela. We defeated every other temple in the world in Radhadamodar, and the devotees put me up on their shoulders and marched me around. So, definitely there's victory marches. So, this Brajanath, he was very expert, and this Nayaka Achyutamani, he was very envious. So he thought, let me worship Durga and get rid of the guy. This is the standard method. So he thought, you know, if I'm going to worship Durga, the best place to worship Durga would be at a crematorium. And you find sometimes, this is the left-handed shaktas. Left-handed means those who engage in things like mudras, matsyas, madan, mamsa. You know, they eat meat, they eat fish, maitunya. They have all sorts of abominable sex life. They make mudras. Mudras means like a sea gesture. And they drink liquor. So he did that. He was drinking wine. It's described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This story is from the Jiva Dharma. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's exposition on all the different aspects of the Siddhanta and Tapa, Krishna consciousness, in the context of different stories. So he was worshipping Durga for a whole month and drinking wine. You know, to say, you got to do something about this Brajanath Bhattacharya. You got to get rid of him. Durga, Om Durgaya Namaha, Om Durgaya Namaha. And so at the end of the month, he just said, you gotta do it! You know, he was just so so enthusiastic, and then there was thunder and lightning, and he even got scared, but it's described that he pacified himself by drinking a little more wine. It's interesting. So, you know, wine drinking or liquor drinking has been going on everywhere in the world, basically since time immemorial. So what happened is that he heard this voice from the sky, "Don't worry, Vrajananda Bhattacharya will not be teaching this Nyaya for very long." And he just went, joy! So he goes back home, you know, with complete faith in Durga. And what did Durga do? It's very interesting. This shows that she's Vaishnavi. That this Vrajananda Bhattacharya was teaching Nyaya. And one of his young students came up to him one time. And he said, Bhattacharya, because you know, obviously he wouldn't address him by his first name. He'd address him by the title. That's the title. He said, Bhattacharya, have you ever heard of the teachings of Nimai Pandit? He was very expert in Nyaya. He has all these different aphorisms. And so, naturally, this Bhattacharya, Vrajananda Bhattacharya, he just became very interested. Oh, I got to perfect my Nyaya even more. You know, he was thinking, I got to become more expert in Nyaya. So he went around. Finally, he found some, like, scholars who knew some of the aphorisms. You know, aphorism means sayings, in case you're interested in what the word aphorism means, of Nimai Pandit. And in regard to Nyaya, and he thought, wow, he was really good. And so he started to admire, just like if someone is really good at something, you really want to admire them. Just like you see, like even like football or something like that, that, or in music, you know, it's like we have someone who has all the one of the young men here has all the stars from the 19th, you know, the movement. Isn't it? All that musical stars, like, you know, the Rolling Cockroaches or whatever they are, in the 1960s, you put them on the wall, they're the heroes. It's interesting, even in politics, you know, people have heroes, someone who does something really, really good. It's like, of course, our hero is Prabhupada. Prabhupada's the greatest hero because, you know, he gave up everything to serve Krishna. So you put pictures, they put pictures up. So he began to think, Nimai Pandit, my hero, my role model. You know, practically day and night he was thinking, you know, he was finding some scholars who knew what Nimai Pandit taught. Because as Prabhupada comments, that Lord Chaitanya didn't really leave any writings except for the Shikshashtaka, you know, the 8 verses. But he was teaching. And so many, and this is right after Lord Chaitanya had left Navadvipa and actually left the world that this happened. So he was just going around and like, Nimai Pandit, Nimai Pandit. You know, basically he was chanting Nimai, Nimai, Nimai Pandit all the time. Or Gaurahari, he's also chanting Gaurahari. You know, he said, oh, this Gaurahari. And then, you know, finally one day he goes home. He's at home and he asks his grandmother, did you know Nimai Pandit? And his grandmother said, yes. And she describes how wonderful he was and how he used to eat shak, which is spinach. And then his wife served him shak, or his mother served him shak. And he was just thinking, this is the shak of Nimai Pandit. This is the shak of, wow. You know, so all day long he was absorbed. This is called Agyata Sukriti. But it's by the mercy of Durga that this happened. That someone wished him badly, someone wanted to curse him, but he got blessed by Durga. Because Durga's not going to attack a Vaishnava and hurt a Vaishnava. I mean, you know, if someone thinks they can worship the demigods or do some sacrifice to hurt a Vaishnava, they are sadly or gladly mistaken. It's like when the king of Puri wanted to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he performed a sacrifice for a whole month. Then one of his children died. So what happened is eventually Vrajanath sort of lost interest. You know, he told his students, Hasta la vista, I'm not interested in teaching anymore. And he approached this Raghunath Das Babaji, and a lot of the Jiva Dharma, quite a bit of the Jiva Dharma is based on teachings to Vrajanath, you know, the Dashamula. Dashamula means the ten main teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also teachings to Vrajanath's uncle, Vijay Kumar, in the Jiva Dharma. So anyway, so this is one story about Durga. Another story about Durga is in the Ramayana, people worshipping Durga, you had Indrajit Meghanag. Indrajit means the conqueror of Indra, and that was Ravana's son. And Meghanad is interesting because that means a voice like a cloud, and like thunder. Like his voice was like thunder. When he was born, he was just like, yeah! You know, practically split all the windows in the palace. And so, he was worshipping this this deity, Nikumbha Nila, which is an expansion of Durga. And she had given him the benediction that if he worshipped her properly, before going into battle, he would get, I guess, a chariot, he wouldn't be able to be defeated, nobody could defeat him. So anyway, so he was fighting with Ram, and also with Lakshman. And so finally he decides, you know, the only way I'm going to defeat them is to do the sacrifice to my deity, Nikumbila, and then I'll become invulnerable. And so he had this hidden temple where he was worshipping this Nikumbila. And very few people knew about it, except for his family members. And one of his family members, of course, was Vibhishan. Vibhishan was his uncle and the brother of Ravan. And unfortunately for him, or fortunately for the whole story, Vibhishan had turned against his brother and joined Lord Ram. Vibhishan was always a devotee, and he's always chanting the names of Lord Ram. But anyway, he had joined Ram, and he told Ram and Lakshman that even though everything appears to be very quiet at this particular juncture, you better be careful, because Indrajit has gone to this temple, this hidden temple, and when he worships Nikumbila, he's going to be so powerful, no one's going to be able to defeat him. And so Vibhishan said, I know where the temple is, and I will take you through the hidden passageway. And he took Lakshman and also Hanuman. And some of the monks, Ram didn't go at that particular point. So he took him through the hidden passageway, and it was in a cave. And Indrajit was doing this sacrifice, Swaha, Swaha, Swaha. And some interesting descriptions about this. Hanuman went in, and he passed urine on the sacrifice. And, you know, just stopped the sacrifice. Not on the deity, obviously, because he's an expansion of Durga. But he stopped the sacrifice. He passed urine and pulled Indrajit away, and Indrajit got really angry. And he came out of the cave, and he was fighting with Lakshman, Ram's brother. And, of course, we know he was killed at this particular point because he didn't complete the sacrifice. It was actually predicted that his death would occur. So this is very much in relationship with demigoddess. His death would occur when he was had not finished the sacrifice. So that's what happened. So Indrajit died at this particular point. Sometimes, one particular story, we find that one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, Srivas Thakur, was blasphemed or attempted to be blasphemed when this Gopal Chapala made it appear that he was worshipping Durga. He was set up. Like, sometimes I give the example, like sometimes the police will actually put marijuana in someone's house and then arrest them. In certain countries they do that. because they want, you know, they want a bribe or whatever. And so Shrivas Thakur, this Gopal Chapala, he was very upset with Shrivas Thakur because he was not allowed into the kirtan of Shrivas Thakur. And so he put all the ingredients for Durga in front of the door, like vermilion and everything like that. And then Shrivas Thakur woke up the next morning, and he very humbly said, "Oh, look, everybody knows I'm worshiping Durga." And, you know, obviously everybody knew he wasn't. But, you know, a devotee's not so careful or so much conscious of his reputation. So what? You know, if everybody thinks I'm worshiping Durga, you know, whatever, I can chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So then he had some sweeper come and sweep all the ingredients away. And this Gopal Chapala, he developed leprosy because he had offended Shrivas Thakur. And later on, very interesting, he went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please forgive me. Please save me from all these worms that are biting me." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I curse you to be bitten by these same worms for, let's say, thousands or many, many millions of births." No, eventually he did approach Shrivas Thakur and he got forgiven and they lived happily ever after. So anyway, so these are some of the stories of Durga. And of course, we respect Durga. She is our mother. We respect her. She's Vaishnavi. She's serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as I mentioned yesterday, she's an expansion of Yogamaya. Yogamaya is Shakti, the Lord's energy, and Yogamaya is ultimately an expansion of Srimati Radharani, the Adi Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are not Shaktis, we are marginal potency of the Lord. The Shaktis, as I mentioned yesterday, are all pure servants of Krishna. So we respect her. She's a pure devotee, and Lord Shiva is a pure devotee, and she loves to take Mahaprasadam, as that story in the Chaitanya Mangal goes, that when Lord Shiva got Mahaprasadam, and Lord Shiva did not share it with her because she was Maya, not in Maya, she was Maya, she proved to the whole world that she was Vaishnavi by performing sacrifice and chanting the Lord's holy names, and she got the benediction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be able to distribute Mahaprasadam to all of her children, that's us. And it's because of that benediction we're taking Mahaprasadam, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, of course. So, any questions or comments? We got 1 minute left to class.
No. Well, I heard that Hinduism, the father of all mankind,
Indra?
Manu.
Yes, Swayambhuva Manu. He's the father, you know, first there's Krishna, then there's Lord Brahma, Krishna, and even before Lord Brahma, of course you have Lord Shiva, who is everyone's father, and then you have Lord Brahma, who creates all the Prajapatis, and, you know, one sense, Lord Brahma is everyone's, great-great-great-great-grandfather. And each one of the Prajapatis has as their responsibility to produce different species of life. You have Kashyapa, whose wives produce different species of life. And, you know, he has some wives who produce demons, daityas, that's Diti. Some wives who produce Danavas. Some wives who produce demigods, that's Adityas. And he has some wives who produce snakes. Kadru. And he has one wife who produces birds. Vinata. Guruda. And other birds. Okay. So, interesting. If you like, you can become a Prajapati like that too. And have wives who produce all sorts of creatures, and your whole family get together will be very interesting.
Yes, that's what we produce from the mind.
Yeah, mind. It's not gross bodies.
Before dusk, all appropriate.